Or Chaim Hakadosh Parshas Re'ei. Tavshinayim Vav. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach B'Shem Kol Yisrael. So let's start with a piece. It is Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Vav on the words No Sein Lifneichem Hayom. Okay, so it's probably on the second page for those who have the printouts. Again, it's going to take us a little time to get used to navigating the Sefer. And we're going to start with the paragraph that begins Od Yisbar Al Pi Ma'amarim Zal. I'm going to assume that you find things quickly, but I'll give you enough time to try to find it. Okay? Od Yisbar Al Pi Ma'amar Zal. I want to start with this piece because I think it's a very important hashkafa, both in terms of life in general and in terms of a new zman in yeshiva. No, the pasuk says, pasuk begins, the opening pasuk of the parasha, Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Bracha Uklala. Hashem says, I'm placing before you, see with your own eyes, that I'm placing before you two paths, a path of bracha and a path of klala. So, the Or HaChaim will often give numerous interpretations of any given pasuk. Here he quotes a medrash. Od Yisbar Al Pi Ma'amarim Zal, he quotes from the medrash from the Sifrei. She'amru Mashal Le'echot Shaya Yoshev Parshas Drachin. Imagine yourself, a young man, for many of us, just coming to YU, for others, finishing YU, going to have to choose another path after here. Right? But in life, we're always encountering Parshas Drachim, means crossroads. So you're standing at a crossroad, you're looking down these different paths. V'hayu lefanav beiz shvilin, echad tchilaso mishor v'sofo kotzim, v'echad tchilaso kotzim v'sofo mishor. One road. I remember when I was in high school, my teacher made us memorize the Robert Frost poem, Two Roads Diverge in a Yellow Wood. You want to finish it?
One road is less traveled by.
Right. In the end, he chose the one less traveled by. What's the last line of the poem? And that made all the difference. So, in life, we have to choose. Sometimes you're looking down two roads, and it looks like, oh, this is clearly the road to choose. And this road, which not so many people have traveled on, is not the likely choice. And Lahavdil, what Robert Frost taught us, and what the Medrash is teaching us here, is that what? That if you're smart, sometimes you take the road that's less traveled by. Take a look. Look what he says. So again, you're standing at the crossroad, and you see that one path, Tchilaso Mishor V'Sofo Kotzim. One path starts off smooth, it's paved, it's clear, and in the end, it's what? It's Kotzim. It's unpaved, it's thorny, it's bumpy. But the other one has thorns and all sorts of weeds and tall brush to push through at the beginning, but once you get past that first mile, it's mamish, clean and smooth sailing the rest of the way. Now there's a zaken who's sitting at this intersection, and the zaken tells people, as they're making a choice, he says, listen, I know you're going to be tempted to take the road that's easy at the beginning, but I've been down both these roads. And I can tell you, like the mashal of the Mesilas Yesharim in Parak Gimel, right? When we look to those who are above us and those who are older and wiser than us, the mashal of the garden maze that the Mesilas Yesharim brings, the Ramchal brings, the Mesilas Yesharim, the garden maze, right? You're trying to find your way through the garden maze. Well, if you can communicate with a walkie-talkie to someone who has a bird's eye view, he can show, oh, I can see that the path that you're walking on, it's a complete dead end. Turn around and make that left. So too, the Zakin says to this young man, this young fellow traveling through life, he says, I've been down both these roads. And he encourages people, what? To take the road that's less traveled by. Take the road that's initially difficult, but in the end is smooth. Again, we're tempted to take the path of least resistance, the easy path. You see this path that starts off smooth? Don't be fooled by it, he says. It's only for the first couple of steps that it's smooth. But after that, it's going to be a rough ride the rest of the way. Trust me, take this other path. It's bumpy at the beginning. There's thorns, there's thistles, there's all sorts of obstacles. But you'll see, once you push through, it'll open up. That's the Medrash. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, every path in life, it's such a beautiful yesod, every path in life has, as our pasuk tells us, bracha and klala. There is no one in the world who has all klala, and there's no one in the world with all bracha. Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom, bracha uklala. It's not two paths, one of bracha, one of klala. Every path has elements of bracha and elements of klala. That's the reality, he says. V'u'amro Nosein Lefneichem, perish. Beis Mine Tovos, Both paths have something good to offer. But each one has an element of bracha, and each one has an element of klala. Ki derech harasham yesh bo mishor b'tchila v'kotzim v'sofo hare bracha u'klala. A Rasha who lives a carefree life in this world, what's his bracha? He gets to have fun. What's his klala? His klala is his life is, in an objective sense, meaningless. And he's going to have to answer for his sins and his rebellion and his rejection of God one day. So yeah, the beginning of the path, by the way, could be his whole life. Right? Compared to the eternity of the soul, the beginning of the path, he had a good time, he had a fun time in this world. He lived carefree. Yeah? Mori b'malchus, like we're learning in the Geras HaTshuva. Living a carefree lifestyle. But in the end, he has to answer, there's going to be klala. V'derech ha'chayim gam kein t'chilaso kotzim v'sofo mishor harei brachu klala gam kein. And a person who chooses a path of authentic living, of real meaningful living, guess what? There's also bracha and klala. When you choose to become a firm Jew, to be a committed Jew, to keep 613, to learn Torah Shavuot Chsav, and to break your head on Torah Shavuot Peh, that's always fun. You look at a tzaddik, hopefully by the end of his life, and the tzaddik, right, the tzaddik loves the opportunity to serve Hashem. But at the beginning of the path, even if you're doing it for the right reasons, and even if you have a lot of people supporting you, and even if v'chulu, but it's hard. It's not easy. To make a commitment to get up every morning to daven with the minyan, that's hard. To work hard and to care what the Rashba says and what the Ritva says and what the Ktsos and the Avni Meluim or the same person say, that's hard. It's hard work. I spoke at Stern yesterday. So I told him an Alsha, I shared an Alsha Chakadosh and Parshas Re'eh. And I found everyone a Shidduch, by the way, so we'll talk about that on the side. In fact, there's an Alshech in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha we have Meiser Sheni, the mitzvah of Meiser Sheni. What's Meiser Sheni? We know the Jewish calendar operates in a 7-year cycle, right? Year 7, of course, is Shemitah. And in the other years, there's different payouts you have to make in various years. Truma, Meiser Rishon, to the Levi. Right? The alternates are what? Are Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani. Years 2, years 1, 2, 4 and 5, a person gives Meiser Sheni. And years 3 and 6, you give Meiser Ani. 1, 2, 4, 5, you take 10% of your produce, bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. That's called Meiser Sheni. You give it to yourself, take it to Yerushalayim. And years 3 and 6, you give that 10% to an Ani. And year 7, of course, is Shemitah. What happens, Torah says, if you live far from Yerushalayim, and you have a lot, 10% of your produce that year, Baruch Hashem, was a great success. You have a lot. It's hard to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So what can you do? Yeah?
You can exchange it for like a piece of food.
Exchange it for money. Wrap the money in your hand. Go to Yerushalayim. You sold grapes, right, in your hometown outside Yerushalayim. Take the money, go to Yerushalayim. What do you have to buy? To buy grapes again? You have to buy back grapes? What do you buy? Burgers bar. Right? Steak and wine, whatever you want. And you eat it in Yerushalayim, and the Torah tells us the reason we do this, it's a portion of the Torah. So you should become God-fearing. Hang out in Yerushalayim, spend time in the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, and you'll become a God-fearing person. So the Alshech HaKadosh has a beautiful var. He says, look at this, a person, Hashem helped this person be so successful. He has so much, right? The Alshech says, what does the Pasuk say? Kirchach Mimcha HaMakom, and the place is far from you. Why does it say that Yerushalayim's far out? Maybe the Torah should say you're far out. Yerushalayim's where it needs to be. You're the one who's far. So the Alshech says it's hinting to the fact that what? Yerchak mimcha hamakum. You are far from hamakum, Makadosh Baruch. That's why you think, oh, it's such a schlep to bring all this food to Yerushalayim. I'll just exchange it for money. It'll be much easier. That's a person who still feels the weightiness of Torah mitzvahs. That means you're stuck in the thorns. Right? I have to travel this road, but it's hard. It's a hard road. Halavai, we should graduate from that immature state of serving Hashem to a much more mature state where what? Where I love every second of it. But the reality is, what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is telling us is that no one has it. No one, even the greatest tzaddikim, right? From the youngest of age. There's challenges. Everyone has challenges. Everyone has their yetzer haras. Everyone has their difficulties. Every path in life has some bracha and some klal. So what path do you choose? I'm gonna get both. So obviously, if you're smart, Make sure you make the right choice. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Each path, whether you take the path of the Rishon or you take the Derech HaChaim, what he calls the Derech HaChaim, there's bracha and there's klala. Look what he says. V'chazer uferesh es habracha. As habracha, what's the path that leads to true bracha? Perush. Lizeh yikare bracha she'ein roi lachush la'anaf haklala shaba. Now the Zakin by the road, Avinu Shabashamayim tells us, trust me on this one. Take the path that's a little bit bumpy at the beginning. Yeah, but it's hard. I don't want to commit myself to this. It's hard to be a Jew. Hashem says, I know it's hard to be a Jew. I understand that. But guess what? Once you realize what a bracha it is to be a Yid, you'll realize that that bumpiness at the beginning is kamat nothing. That's what he says here. Lezei yikare bracha she'ein roi lachush la'anafa klala shaba. Don't be concerned by that small element of klala shaba. Asher tishmo hagam sheyesh bem tzos zetzar ki atzadikim mitzarim b'olam hazeh. There's no question that tzadikim have to undergo difficulty in this world. But if you take that true path, asher tishmo, and you start to hear it, you start to get it. Nasav inishma. What does nasav inishma mean? Nasav inishma means I'll do it before I, not just that I hear it, that's a very basic translation. I'll do it before I understand it, before I appreciate it. So the es habracha asher tishmo. You want to know which path is true bracha? The path that what? That eventually you'll come to understand it. Yes, the tzaddik, of course, is going to suffer in this world. Vishdadlus ha-muskal va'olamam kasha aleyam. The tzaddik has all sorts of difficulties becoming the tzaddik. The famous letter from Mefutner, right? The famous sigaris from Pachin Yitzchak, Baal Pachin Yitzchak from Mefutner, where he says people make this mistake. They think tzaddikim just like they were born into it. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. A tzaddik falls 7 times and gets back up. Not he falls 7 times and he gets back up. He became a tzaddik because he kept falling and he kept pushing. Because he says, I know that at the end of this road it's going to open up. It's going to be mamish clear and smooth. And therefore the tzaddik is willing to work through it. Ba'klala imlo tishmun. But the klala is the person who says, I'll take the easy path, the path of least resistance. Hagam sha'atem misadnim ba'olam b'chol avas nefesh ha'bahamis. Even though you'll enjoy all the pleasures of this world, whatever your body desires, whatever your nefesh ha'bahamis desires, v'ye'erav lachem, it'll be pleasurable for you, it'll be enjoyable for you. But mishur zeh l'klala yechashem. You realize that which you thought was so fun and enjoyable and so smooth, in the end, asher tishmo, and you'll come to understand and realize that was a really bad choice. And in the end, you'll look back and you'll see that path, which again, has superficially bracha and klala, fun times, and then now answering before Avinu Shema Shemayim for the bad choice. But what's the takeaway? You'll look back and you'll say, shoot, that was klala. That whole thing was klala. That was the path of klala. As opposed to the path of Chaim, the person who travels the Derech HaChaim, when he first gets started, he'll say, yeah, there's some klala, and then there's bracha, but at the end, the reflection at the end, you'll say, it's a bracha, asher tishmo. At the end, you'll say, no. Sof, this is bracha. This whole path is called bracha. And again, it's a very important message for life, and a very important message as you begin a new year in yeshiva. And you sit down, and you start working hard again. Okay, so the first day is a lot of fun, and the second day is a lot of fun, right? But then, the papers start to come, and the tests start to come, right? And the Rebbe's not as prepared for shiur because he spent the whole summer preparing like the first 3 shiurim. You know, then he like runs out of material. Okay, so that's the bumpiness at the beginning. You got to push through, and if you push through, if you're willing to work hard, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, you're guaranteed that levasof tishmu. You'll understand that the hard work paid off, and you'll be able to reflect on that choice as a path of brach. I want to share one short Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Let's turn to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Hey. Okay, again, at the top of the page, you can see what parak you're in, probably, in most editions that you're looking at. And the pasuk is usually printed right alongside. Look for like the bolded Rashi tables, you'll find the pasuk. Okay, the pasuk is Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilecho Va'oso Tirav. Parak Yud Gimel Pasuk Hay. The Orach Chaim begins, Acharei Hashem, he says, Kasha. Where is the context of this pasuk? What we really should do, we started a little late today, so I didn't do it, but what we really should do is we should just run through, in the first 3 minutes of Thursday's shiur, we should just run through all the topics in the parsha, just so we touch upon them. I'm just nervous we'll end up, you know, spending too much time introducing the parsha and not getting to the Orach Chaim. The context of Perek Yud Gimel over here is the prohibition or the threat to Klal Yisrael of a Navi Sheker. What's a Navi Sheker? A Navi Sheker is a person, a false prophet, who comes and starts saying things that are against the Torah. And he might be a tremendous magician, he might be able to do all sorts of tricks, he might be able to walk on water, he might be able to do all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, he's a Navi Sheker. Now, what's so strange is that the Navi Sheker has to be put to death, but the Torah in Pasuk He, in this whole sugya of Navi Sheker, all of a sudden it inserts the following Pasuk. It says, watch out for the Navi Sheker, don't follow in the ways of the Navi Sheker. Pasuk Vav is going to say, kill the Navi Sheker. What gets thrown here, right in the middle, in Pasuk He? Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teileichem. Walk after God, Voso Tiro. So says the Rechaim Kalavot, let's kill the Navi Sheker first, Pasuk Vav. And then we'll come back and talk about, you know, what our feelings that we should have towards Hashem. The Pasuk has a lot of Lashonos. Take a look. Kasha. It's difficult. Lama hifsik bepasuk ze beemsa mishpat navi sheker. Shari achrav hu omer, because immediately after in pasuk vav it says va navi hahu vegomer yumas. The navi sheker has to be put to death. So why interrupt by the, like in the middle of the end, like, oh, by the way, you should follow after Hashem and you should fear God and you should cling to God. So you could say, I guess on some level, b'derech ha'pshat, you're contrasting. Don't follow the navi sheker, follow Hashem. But we didn't kill the navi sheker yet. Put Pasuk Vav first. The Navi Sheker is a bad guy. He's trying to lead you astray. Kill the Navi Sheker. And now that you know who not to follow, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teileichu, follow after Hashem. Why does it interrupt, so to speak, the flow of the Pesukim about the Navi Sheker? And furthermore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Od Tzarech Ladas, Lama Herech Kol Eila Hadvar. You look through Pasuk Vav, there's a lot of Lashonos. It says, after Hashem, Teilechu. And then it says, Tira'u. And then it says, Tishmoru. And then it says, Tishma'u. And then it says, Ta'avodu. And then it says, Tidbakun. Cling to Hashem. Six different Lashonos, which, whenever we see six of anything, we know, I think, Shisha Sidra Mishnah, so we have to think, maybe these six can be aligned with the Shisha Sidra Mishnah. But what are these six Lashonos, and why are they thrown in here all of a sudden? And Or HaChaim, again, has an arichas here going through each of the Lashonos. He says, as he begins the answer, V'nira sheba l'ha'ir ha'dvarim ha'klalim sheyashnam b'avodas Hashem. These six things, Teilechu, Tira'u, Tishmoru, Tishma'u, Ta'avodu, Tidbakun, are six general guiding principles of what it means to serve God. They're all important. Everything the Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote in his entire parish on Chumash is important. We don't have time for everything because I want to highlight certain things. So I want to just show you Uvot Tidbakun. I want to jump ahead. Look at the paragraph. See if you can find the paragraph that says Va'omro Uvot Tidbakun. Okay, it's like two more paragraphs in. He goes through each one. He goes through Oso Tiro, then he goes through Oso Tavodu, and then he gets to Uvot Tidbakun. You should cling to Hashem. The obvious problem being, what does it mean to cling to Hashem? He's really just quoting a Gemara for us, but I want to. Use this Gemara to help us appreciate the yeshiva that we find ourselves in. Because I don't know any other yeshiva in the world that has as many Rosh Yeshiva as Yeshiva Sevedi Yitzchak Elchanan. Right? Yeshiva has a Rosh Yeshiva, sometimes a co-Rosh Yeshiva. I think Panovich had three Rosh Yeshiva. Yeshiva Sevedi Yitzchak Elchanan, how many Rosh Yeshiva do we have? Anyone know the count? 12. Say all the MIP Rebbeim are called Rosh Yeshiva, so we have more than 30 Rosh Yeshiva. And each one is a world-class Talmud Chacham, and each one is very unique, both in terms of their Hanhagos HaChaim and in terms of their style of learning and their expertise in Torah. So how do you cling to Hashem? That's a very obvious question. Uvo Tidbakun, how do you cling to Hashem? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Yizbar al derech Omram Zal, I will quote for you the Gemara in Ksubis, Kufir Aleph Amad Beis, V'chi Efsher Ledavik B'Shechina. How do you grab onto the Shechina? How do you hold on to Hashem? Ella sheyedavek belom de Torah sheheim merkava l'shechina. Attach yourself to those who learn Torah. Now, normally this Gemara, the lashon of the Gemara is not lom de Torah. Normally, we think of this Gemara: attach yourself to talmidei chachamim. So, first and foremost, attach yourself to people who are the greatest lom de Torah. It's interesting that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says attach yourself to anyone who learns Torah. Now obviously, again, there is a hierarchy. Let's try to attach ourselves to people who are the highest level and embodiment of Torah. right? But attach yourself to people. How do I connect to Hashem? By connecting to people who are connected to Hashem. And how are people connected to Hashem? By trying to attach their minds and their hearts to Hashem. And how do you attach your mind and your heart to Hashem? You learn His Torah. You try to get to know what He likes. The Ratzon Hashem is expressed through the Torah. You try to get in touch with Hashem's feelings and His ideas. So attach yourself to Lomdei Torah. Be a part of a yeshiva with chaverim who are connected to Torah. Surround yourself by people who are interested in Torah. Attach yourself to Rebbeim. And you have so many opportunities here. There are so many Rebbeim here. So many great people to connect with. Uki'ilu nidbak bo yizbach. And in that way you're connected to Hashem. Ve'kan tziva Hashem shelo yidabik ela bekrovei Hashem u'kadoshav. The contrast, to really answer the question that the Rechayim asked, why do you put this pasuk in the middle? Because it's showing you that everything that we're supposed to not do to attach ourselves to the Navi Shekhar, we're supposed to positively do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and those who are the representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So attach yourself to Krovei Hashem, U'Kadoshav. The Navi Shekhar is enticing. He sounds like a really smart guy. He can do some cool tricks. Right? He even speaks, he claims to speak in the name of God. But be careful, don't get stuck with him, don't get attached to him. Don't attach yourself, right, to really be connected deeply to something of Avodah Zarah. Be careful. And if a Navi comes and says, come, I want to get attached to you. I want you to fall into my clutches. So be very careful. Because if you get stuck to a Navi, it's going to be hard. A Navi Sheker, God forbid, it'll be very hard to get unstuck. And the same thing, a million times over, is true. If you get yourself stuck early on in yeshiva, if you try to find an opportunity, the nuzman, right, to go over to a Rebbe, before everyone else goes over to him, and say, I want to spend time with you, to go over to a Rosh Yeshiva, it might be a little uncomfortable to say, does Rebbe have any free time, even 5 minutes a week, to learn with me? It's a huge opportunity. You get stuck to Torah, and by the extension, you get stuck to a Kadosh Baruch. Okay? So let's realize the value of that. What it means to be davuk to, again, Talmidei Chachamim, but also, again, I want to be medayik in his lashon here of Lomdei Torah. Make sure you surround yourself by people who are learning Torah. Unfortunately, not everyone who lives in Washington tonight is interested in learning Torah. So make sure you cling to people who are connected to Torah. Okay, let's turn to Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Ches. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Ches. Yeah. Yud Bet Chav Chet 12:28, chapter 12, verse 28. If I say chapter 12, verse 28, maybe you'll get a Bible requirement fulfilled. I talk in that way. Okay, the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 28. Now you can get Bible requirements. That's good. It's a good deal.
Yeah. I think this is
okay. Take a look. The pasuk tells us Shamor v'Shamato. Listen to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then the pasuk says, Ki tase hatov. Ki tase hatov be'enei Hashem. Tov ha'yashar be'enei Hashem. Okay, I'm going to give myself a little mussar. And then I'm going to give you a little mussar. That's fair. First I have to give myself. If I'm not going to practice what I preach, then it's not really fair to demand of others. Okay, so let's see. You see where he says, Va'omro ki sa'aseh hatov. Yeah? So he starts off by telling us, you need to realize the following. Shamor v'shamata. Shamor v'shamata. Sometimes a person is asked, Shamor v'shamata. Ki sa'aseh hatov ha'yashar b'nei Hashem. Look what he says. Perush. Ki dvarim shegozrim chachamim. When the rabbis ask of us to do certain things, when Chazal goes there certain gezeros, Einam kiim lasos hatov ha'yashar b'nei Hashem. So Rabbi Petter comes to the Beis Medrash and says, we're making an effort to not have cell phones out, or even to send a quick text in the Beis, right? He's not trying to be difficult. He understands that people have a lot of demands in life and other responsibilities outside the Beis Medrash, right? It might be difficult, it might be annoying, put your phone in the box, okay, not bad, right? It might be annoying. It might sometimes be burdensome, might even sometimes seem childish or controlling, but Chazal and our sages today are not trying to control us. They're trying to help to create a format by which I can be a good Jew. That the Shemor v'Shamat is Ki Sa'aseh HaTov HaYashar B'nei Hashem. Shekol Divrei Hem Ruvid HaZahav. Ukafi ze maimer kisase hu gam kein tam atzivoy veshamata. Ki beze tasa atova yasher tziva Hashem beemtzaos hagedarim vasyagim. All of the gedarim, all of the siyagim, all of the fences, all the rules and regulations that Chazal place upon us, and the Mesilas Yesharim again tells us that that's the framework, that's the foundation. Chazal set up a foundation for us, but we have to be realistic. If I need more fences, then I need to build more fences. If I need better walls to protect myself, because I know I have a strong Yitzhar in a particular area, so then I have to go above and beyond that. It might be hard, it might seem burdensome, but realize that everything that Chazal are being goes there is simply to help us to become Tov and Yashar Be'enei Hashem. Okay. Now, jump ahead a few paragraphs. That doesn't sound like I'm speaking to myself. So now let me speak to myself. You see where he says, Od Yisbar Al Derech Omram Chagiga Tesvavam Ubeis. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga, it's about three or four paragraphs later. And try to identify in your Orachayim HaKadosh, you know, guideposts. So in mind, the sources are usually in parentheses. So Chagiga Tesvavam Ubeis is in parentheses. It's easy to find. A few paragraphs later. It's a new paragraph in mine, at least. Od Yisbar Al Derech Omram. In Maseches Chagiga it says, okay, so I need a Rebbe to set up guideposts and to guide me. What type of Rebbe should I choose? The Rebbe, obviously, the Torah just told me, is trying to help me to be Tov Yashar B'nei Hashem. So the Gemara in Chagiga says a very frightening thing for anyone here who's planning on going into Chinuch or Rabbanus. Im harav doma l'malach Hashem tzevakos Torah yivakshu mipiu. If your Rebbe is like a malach, then you should listen to him. And if he's anything less than angelic, then you shouldn't listen to him. How do you see that in these words? Going back to the beginning of the pasuk, shamor v'shamata. Sometimes, unfortunately, you meet people who preach one thing, and in their private lives, they don't live such a thing. We don't tolerate that in the context of Torah. A professor could be a very good biology professor, and could be a disgusting human being. He could be an unethical person. He could be a really unrefined human being in his private life, and I don't have a problem learning biology with him. I don't have a problem studying calculus with him. I don't have a problem, you know, becoming a doctor under him. He's teaching me information. I don't really care what he's like as a person. When we teach Torah, we're giving over our soul. We're giving over the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiddush. So we do care who our teachers are. And therefore, says the Pasuk, Shemor v'shamata. Says the Rechaim, v'hu omro, Shemor, perish. Imhu b'shmira, sheshomer haTorah, oz v'shamata Torah mipiyu. If the person who you're learning from is himself a guarded individual, that he's trying his best to keep what he tells you to do and what he tries to transmit to you, then that's the type of person you want to listen to. V'shamata Torah mipiyu. V'omro, continues the Pasuk, Eskol hadvarim, L'derech zeh yisbar al pi ma sha'amru b'chagiga. Now he has a whole arichas here, but I just want to be merami too, because he presents an interesting machlokas. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the Shach have a machlokas. The Shach being one of the primary commentaries on Yoredeya. Okay, look what he quotes here. What happens, where is an example of this in Shas? Of a really talented Rebbe in terms of his Torah knowledge, but not in terms of his Torah practice. Who's the ultimate example? Elisha ben Avuya. Acher. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us the story of Elisha ben Avuya, who went off the derech. And who was his Talmud who continued to follow him around and to learn from him? Who was walking on foot alongside his Rebbe, who was riding a horse on Shabbos, giving a shir, saying over Reb Chaim Briskers while he rides a horse and smokes a cigar on Shabbos. Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir was following Elisha ben Avuya. So look what it says. Eskol advarim. L'derech zeh yisbar al pi masha amru chagiga. The Gemara says over there, Rebbe Meir heichi gamar Torah mipume da'acher. How could Rebbe Meir, if this is truly a Rebbe should be a tzaddik, so then how can Rebbe Meir learn from Acher? Va'amar, doesn't the pasuk tell us, kisif se kohen, right, v'chulu? Doesn't the pasuk, the pasuk Malachi, doesn't the pasuk say that the sifs, the mouth, the speech of the Kohen should be angelic, and a Kohen, or the Kohanim were the teachers of Torah, so therefore your Rebbe has to be angelic. So how could Rebbe Meir learn from Elisha ben Avuya, who became known as Acher, the outsider, the other one? Amarish Lakish, Rebbe Meir kra ashkach udarash. Rebbe Meir found a pasuk to support himself. The pasuk says, hat oznecha v'gomer, V'libcha tashis l'da'ati. Incline your ear, bend your ear, listen, and then make sure your heart only absorbs da'ati. My da'as. What does that mean? It means I can listen to a Rasha saying Hashem's words, and I'm not absorbing the Rasha's, you know, own input, so to speak. I'm just extracting the da'as Hashem. L'da'atam lo ne'amar el l'da'ati. You can listen to anyone. Just make sure that when you listen, you only walk away with da'as Hashem. That you don't take whatever else they injected into it. So that says the Gemara. Kashu kray ahadadeh. So the Gemara says, well, now I have a contradiction. Does my Rebbe need to be a tzaddik, or can I learn from anyone? So the Gemara answers, lo kasha habigadol habikata. Only Rebbe Meir can walk such a fine line. If you're going to go and say, I heard there's this person, he's not a Shomer Shabbos, he doesn't keep kosher, he's actually married to a non-Jewish woman, but he's such a brilliant person. You know, in South Korea, they learn the Talmud. They study the Talmud. You know about this? You heard about this? They study the Talmud because it sharpens the mind. So let's say you find out that there's some professor who he's unbelievable. He gives the clearest, the best shiur in the world. He's not Jewish, and he's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Or maybe even worse, he is Jewish, and he's not Shomer Torah and Mitzvos. So you'll say, okay, I won't be influenced by him. I'll still be from it. I'm just there to suck out the Torah information that he has. Says the Gemara, only a Gadol could say such a thing. Only Rabbi Meir, who's on such a Madrega, could do such a thing with an Acher. Right? But the average person has to make sure that we attach ourselves to people who practice what they preach. Now, he goes on here, has an interesting discussion. Again, whether or not a Gadol, whether or not we pass him this way, do we make a chilek between a gadol and a katan? Do we in fact say that one can learn from a Rasha if one is a gadol, right, or not? Again, he presents a machlokas between himself. It's the Bach and the Shach, and the Rachaim HaKadosh seems to disagree. The Shach seems to say that only Rabbi Meir held of this distinction between katan and gadol, but normally we assume that the Chacham don't even agree to that distinction. So you can't learn from a Rasha. Or Chaim disagrees. He says, no, I think we pass him this way. That a Gadol can in fact extract Torah from even unholy places, but a Katan cannot. Yeah? Why am I telling you all this? I'm certainly not a Malach Hashem Tzavakos. And if you want to leave this year and go to someone who's definitely more angelic, there are plenty of people here in Yeshiva. You certainly have that opportunity. But, as a critique of myself, the less you think of me, the more you have to think of yourself. You understand why? Because the more unfit I am to teach you Torah, and I'll leave it up to you to determine how fit or unfit I am, but if you decide that I'm unfit, that means you're learning from someone who's unfit, that means you have an achayis, if you want to stay in the shir, to what? Be a gadol. Because only a gadol can learn from someone who's unfit. Okay? So that's the musar to myself. I give the musar to myself. As Yotze giving musar to myself. Now I'm going to give musar to you. Let's go back to the beginning of the parsha. That's my responsibility as a rebbe. I have to try to be a rebbe so that you don't have to, I don't have to take the pressure off you, you don't have to be such a gadol to stay in this year. Okay? But if you think I'm not worthy, then you have to be a bigger gadol to learn from me. Okay? But what's your achrayis mitzad the Talmid? What's the Talmud's achrayis in sitting in this year? So let's go back to the beginning of the parsha. As a bracha asher tishma. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. This is a beautiful Or HaChaim HaKadosh. What does the pasuk say? Actually, there's also what happened to the chumash. See, that's an unprepared rabbi. Doesn't even have a chumash for the parsha shit. Anyone have a chumash that I can borrow? Pasuk says, "Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala." I can get through the first couple pasukim. Es Habracha Asher Tishmu. Yeah, you will be blessed. Yeah, Shkai, Jojo, that's perfect. Yeah. The stone, I'll take the stone chumash. I don't need 10, I just need one.
Which one? Middle one.
Oh, Shkai, anyone. Thank you. Okay, the pasuk says, Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala Es HaBracha Asher Tishmu. So what do we think Pashup Shad in the pasuk is? You will be blessed, if you listen to Hashem, then you will be blessed. How will you be blessed? I don't know, you'll get Olam Haba, Hashem will like you, he'll give you Parnassah, he'll give you a good Shidduch, he'll give you health. We assume as a bracha asher tishmo is that if you listen, then you will afterwards be blessed. But the Rechaim HaKadosh says, I'm going to tell you differently. You know what a bracha is to be someone who is even willing to listen? You know what a bracha you're going to receive just by being a good listener? I told you yesterday, I have an advantage over you that I get to talk a lot more than you do in shir. Which means that I can sleep a lot less than you also. Because it's much harder for me to fall asleep while I'm speaking than for you to fall asleep while you're listening. So I encourage you to get a normal amount of sleep every night. Okay? Look what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. Es a bracha asher tishmah. It's not that you're going to get a bracha if you listen. It's a bracha if you're open to listening. What a bracha. It's not you're going to get paid something extra afterwards. That's also true. But the pleasure and the enjoyment you'll get by becoming a good listener, by coming to shir with an open ear and an open mind and an open heart, being willing to absorb the words of Torah, the pleasure you'll get while you're listening, in addition to all the reward that's saved away for you in all of Ma'amis, is a gevaldic thing. Listen to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He has many lishonos throughout the Sefer, where he just pours out, literally, mamish, you know, fire on paper, his love of Torah. Listen to what he says here. It's beautiful. Es ha-bracha. Amru es. Laha'ir kemilvada bracha ha-museges miderach Hashem. Od lo ima yi'ud ha-tov. V'hu asher tishma'u. In addition to all the other bracha you're going to get from walking the path of Hashem, right? Es ha-bracha. Es means with. Along with everything else you're going to get, part of the bracha is tishma'u. V'asher tishmo, ki ashmiya b'torah hu tanug mufla u'mechaya nefesh. If you can become a person who's able to listen to Torah, and to even, I'll say something radical, to even smile once in a while and share. You can do better than that, Rav. To smile once in a while and share. I still have a Kar Satova. When I was in Camp Masora, like five, six summers ago, it was a Friday night, I was giving a shir. There was a young lady who was there. She wasn't in camp for the summer. She was someone's guest for Shabbos, a friend. She came to my shir and she smiled the entire shir. No one ever did that before in listening to a shir that I gave. And I felt, I don't know what she was smiling about the whole time, but I felt so good that someone was like receiving Torah in such a deep way. They were like so tuned in, literally smiling the whole time. I didn't get to thank her after the shir, and I didn't get to see her the rest of the Shabbos, but I can still picture her, and I'm sure that one day I'm going to like meet her like by like the Kotel Plaza, and she's going to think I'm nuts, and probably like 15 years from now, and be like, I owe you a big Hakar Zatom. Rav Pam Zatzal, used to say that after a person goes to a shir, even if it's a terrible shir, you should go over with a smile on your face and say thank you to the person who gave the shir. Because the people who give shir also have feelings, and they like to know that you're enjoying their shir. So when you smile during a shir, it's a sign that you're receiving the bracha of asher tishma. And it's not just be'al dem l'chaveru, that you make the person feel good, right? But it's when you smile during the shir, Rav Goldvich Zatzal from KBY, the Shashiva from KBY, Rav Goldvich from YU, his uncle was the Shashiva of KBY. He was once giving a shir, a chavura, to a group of talmidim in KBY, and he was saying over this whole complicated shtickle Torah. And afterwards he said, let me say it again. I can see you don't understand it. So he repeated the whole thing. He said, I can see you don't understand it. He said it again. They said, Rebbe, why don't you ask us if we understand it? Why are you so sure we don't understand it? He says, because you're not smiling. If you were smiling, if you really caught what I was saying, there's no way you couldn't smile. There's no way you couldn't smile right now. That's the bracha of Asher Tishmo. Ki Ashmiya b'Torah is a tanug mufla, a beautiful, sweet pleasure. U'mechaya ha-nefesh. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Shim'u u'sichi nafshechem. Listen, absorb the Torah, and it will literally revive your soul. You shouldn't walk out of shir, God forbid, feeling spent, feeling like you used up all your energy for the day. You should walk out of here feeling energized for the rest of the day. You got to come in the right way, ready to listen. Well rested. V'amargish b'tam haTorah t'sichenu nafsho ki alav l'shalim gemul tov l'nosin matana tova muflis. You'll feel, wow, Hashem, I owe you so much for this. I'm expecting to get rewarded for this. You know how good this is? But you have to be someone who receives es ha-bracha asher tishma. You have to experience the bracha of being a good listener to Torah. I'm certainly not going to ask Hashem to pay me beyond that. By the way, He will pay you. Hashem is generous in that way. Whenever we do for Hashem, He pays us back. What's the greatest klal in the world? I won't read it inside now because we're really basically out of time. What's the greatest klal in the world? In the next paragraph, I still want to do a few more things. What's the greatest klala? V'aklala im lo tishmo. Not that if you didn't keep the mitzvahs, you're going to be punished for that. But chaval that you didn't have an ear to hear. That is the klala. The klala of not being a receptacle, not being a kli to receive Torah, that's the biggest klala in the world. For someone who knows what Torah really is, if you've ever experienced the joy and the pleasure of Torah, you know that the biggest klala in the world is when a person has arlas ha'ozen and arlas ha'lev and he can't hear anything. And you can say the most beautiful Torah in the world and it doesn't resonate. That's the most broken person in the world. It's the biggest life of klala. So try to be worthy and try to make yourself Roy Lakatha, you should have the bracha of Shmiah. Now on that point I just mentioned, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you for everything that you do, turn to the end of the parsha. Because at the end of the parsha it tells us, in Perek Tesvav, at the end of the parsha it tells us that a person, for those who have the photocopies, it's the last page. Ki pasoach tiftach. Perek Tesvav, pasuches. Perek Tesvav, pasuches. Ki patoach. When you open your hand generously, to give tzedakah to a poor person. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Tzarech ledas ma nesinas tam hu zeh lelev atum. We say to this person, Pasoach tiftach. I read you the whole pasuk. Pasoach tiftach. Open up your hand and be generous to give to others. The pasuk says, Ki pasoach tiftach es yadcha. Right? Open your hand to him. Or give him a loan. Rashi says if you're too stingy to give him a matana, if you don't want to give a free handout, so at least give a loan. That's also a mitzvah. Right? Pasuk says right before that, don't close your hand. Lo sikpos es yadcha miachicha. Don't hold your hand closed from your brother. Open your hand generously. So says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Again, Rashi reads the pasuk, give him a matana, give him a gift. And if you're too cheap to give him a gift, so give him a loan. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, no. Give him a gift, and the gift is a loan. The gift is a loan, why? He's not going to pay you back. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, yeah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. There is nothing that we do in this world where we feel like, Hashem, I'm doing for you and you're not doing for me. Even though, what we just learned a moment ago, is the pleasure of doing for him should be good enough. Right? Kedushas Levi in last week's Parsha, V'haya Ekev Tishmu'un, it'll be that when you listen to the mitzvos, right, you'll get a reward. Kedusha Levi says, no, that's childish. The mitzvah is the reward. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah, it says in Pirkei Avos. You want to sing it for us? Go, please. Maybe we'll sing that after Shiva. That'd be a new niggun for us. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah means what? The reward for the mitzvah is the very fact that you had the opportunity to do a mitzvah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extra generous. Shem says, not only do you get the pleasure of serving me, which is a pleasure if you appreciate it, but I'll pay you back. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Open your hand. Tzarech ledas. Ma nesinas tam hu zeh lelev otu. V'ulai sheneskavin lomer al derech omro. Yesh mefazer v'nosif od. Ki al yedei sheposeach hu yado poschim lo share shefa. Hashem says, you know why I'm asking you, begging you to open your hand not to be stingy? Hashem says, I could give this person money also, but you know what happens when you open your hand? What you're doing down below is making an opening above. Hashem says, I have so much bounty, so much shefa that I want to pour down upon you, but I can't until you make an opening. Hu omro ki. That's why the pasuk says, ki pasoach. Ki pasoach. Perush. Tam shani omer lecha shalos amitz. The reason I'm telling you not to be stingy is ki pasoach, because when you will open your hand, perush. Otzer hanela. Imata tiftach es yadcha. There's going to be so much more that opens up for you if you're willing to open on your end. Hashem says, I'll open up on my end. And that's the end of the pasuk. Ha'ave ta'avitenu. Rashi said again, if you don't want to give him money, a free handout, so give him a loan. Or Chaim HaKadosh says, no, different. Perish. Kisha'ata poseach es yadcha. Allah, when you open your hand to him, eincha osa ela halva. You're really basically just giving a loan because you're going to get back a lot more. The Medrash says in Rus, Medrash in Rus Rabbah says, more than the wealthy person does for the ani does for the wealthy person. And that's talking in Gashmias. When you give away your money, you get money back. And you get more than you invested. It's the greatest investment in the world. The Torah says you're even allowed to, the Navi says you're even allowed to test Hashem with this. You're allowed to test Hashem. Aser ta aser. Aser b'shvil shetis asher. Give meiser, give money, give away tzedakah, and you'll get money back. And Hashem says, the Navi says, v'chanuni na bezos, you can test Hashem with this. Try it. Give away a lot of money and see what happens. I guarantee you'll get it back, and more. V'teikav Hashem yishalim l'cha v'tosefes meruba u'v'zeh yesh tam nachon l'libo shalo yisamitz. And this is chizik for us, again, to realize that when we serve Hashem, it's a tremendous pleasure, but beyond that, Hashem is always willing to give us that much more. Okay, let's do one final piece. Let's do one and a half final pieces. I want to quote something. It's our first Or HaChaim shir, but we're learning Kedushin this year, so you have to bring them together. You have to be friends with each other. So let's take a look. Go to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud. We'll do one last piece and then a tiny bracha from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud. Okay, again, the context here. We move past the Navi Sheker. The next topic in Perek Yud Gimel is the Mesis. The person who comes and tries to tempt you and says, come, let's go do Avodah Zarah together. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud. Come, let's do Avodah Zarah together. We're going to go to the last piece in Pasuk Yud that begins, Va'omro Lo Sachos. The Torah tells us, when someone tries to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah, even if it's your own brother, don't have mercy upon that person. Lo Sachos Alav. Have no pity upon him. Don't take pity upon him. Turn him into the authorities and have him killed. But it's my own brother of flesh and blood. Yeah, but he's a masis. He's trying to lead me astray. He's a troublemaker. He's whispering in my ear, come, let's do Avodah Zarah. Have no mercy upon him. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud. Turn him into the authorities, okay? Or maybe it's Pasuk Tes. You might have it, but Lo Sachos, the words Lo Sachos are actually in Pasuk Tes. So again, I don't know what it has in your edition. It might be broken up differently. Okay, but it's the last piece before the piece that begins Yud Aleph. Okay, Va'omru Lo Sachos. Don't have mercy upon him. And then the Pasuk says, Lo Sechased, don't cover up for him. The Gemara in Kiddushin, I'll just share it outside, the Gemara tells the story of Nura Bei Amram. Amram, one of the personalities of the Gemara, had a situation where there were some female slaves who were freed, and they were asked to be stored to stay at his home. He had a guest house or a barn out back, and he said that these young female slaves can live there for a period of time. Okay, so they go there. Amram one day had a tremendous temptation to go spend time schmoozing with these young ladies. And the Gemara says he was so tempted, he had Yetzer Hara, sometimes bring out kochos we never even knew he had. He moved a ladder, he had initially taken away a ladder to make it impossible for him to climb up to this upper chamber to get to these young women. But in his taiva, to socialize with them, he moved a ladder that would take many people, he moved it himself. And he started climbing the ladder on his way to talk to these non-Jewish ladies. As he's about halfway up the ladder, he realizes, I'm in big trouble. And like Yosef and Tzadik, he decides, I gotta get out of this. So he starts screaming, there's a fire in Amram's house! There's a fire in Amram's house! And of course, all the local townspeople come running. They say, well, where's the fire? There's no fire here. There's the fire of his own Yetzara. Right? But he called his own Yetzara out. He called himself out. He embarrassed himself in order to save himself from Avera. We don't often encounter our own flesh and blood or anyone coming and whispering in our ear, come, let's do Avodah Zarah, in a classic sense, in a traditional sense. But we do have someone who's always whispering in our ear, telling us to stray from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Yetzer Hara. And the Torah is telling us, don't have Rachmanis on him. What does it mean, don't have Rachmanis on him? Lo sechased, don't cover up for him. What does that mean? Just go to like the last 10 lines or so, again, in this piece, where it says, v'lo sechased alav. You see Gemara Kedushin Pei Aleph, out of our Masechta. Lo sechased alav. Hachreiz alav v'galeu le'inei akol. The same way of Amram was struggling with his Yetzer Hara, and he cried out to expose his Yetzer Hara. Uvezetia nimla mimenu ki bezeh atahargo. By exposing the Yetzer Hara, he saved himself. How do you kill the Yetzer Hara? Or Chaim HaKadosh talks a lot about the Yetzer Hara throughout his Sefer. What's the yesod for killing the Yetzer Hara? Expose him. Expose him. Call him out. Sometimes that means calling yourself out and turning yourself over to someone who can help you to conquer a certain Yetzer Hara. But by calling him out, by lo sechasela, by not covering up for him, ki harog targenu, that is how you kill him. Va'omro yadcha tia bo b'rishon ala hamiso. And here I'm going to flip the responsibility upon you once again. I'm here to help you, and there's countless people here in Yeshiva to help you. But at the end of the day, a person has to take a chrayas for his own life. I'm going to be annoying about that. So when you finish the Meir Makomos and say, what should I learn next? I'll say, what do you want to learn next? I don't know. Go learn Kedushin, figure it out, I don't know. Go to the same shelf that I went to and pick up a Sefer. And I didn't assign you to look at the Rashba. I don't see what the Rashba says, I don't know. Turn to the back, see who's in the back of the Gemara. Take a, it's your learning, it's your decision how much you want to own the Masechta or not. So what do we do to the Mesis? Who kills the Mesis? Once we turn him over to the authorities, he's busted, he's Chayav Misa. Who's going to be the one to take the first strike at him? Yodcha Tiyebo Barishona Lahamiso. The one who turns him in is the one who kills him, who has the first attack to kill him. Perish. Shlohirsha Oscha Kosov Legalus Maisov Vilakroka Chasid Nurabe Amram. Why did Amram call out for help? Amram Chasidah, as he was known. Why would this Chasid Amram? Why did he call out for help? Because he couldn't do it alone. But the Torah is telling us, realize the first line of defense is you. You should get help if you need help. But Yadcha Tiyeh Bo Barishona LaHamiso. At the end of the day, it's your Yetzirah, and the only one who could really kill the Yetzirah, Sof Kol Sof, is you. Ezu Gibor Kovish as Yitzro. Kashrus Magid says in the Avodas Yisrael, who is the person who's strong, the one who kills his own Yetzirah? I can help, I can probably kill your Yetzirah, because that's not my Yetzirah. The only one who can kill my own Yetzirah is me. So Yadcha Tiyeh Bo Barishona LaHamiso. If that doesn't work, then you have to be like Amram and be mature enough to ask for help. But take the Achrayas in your life. Realize that the first line of defense again is you. And do whatever you can to fight valiantly against the Yetzirah. If not, Yad Kol La'am B'Achrona, the Pasuk says. Everyone else, the whole world is out there to help you. Right? Turn to Klal Yisrael to help you, to mechazik you. But again, take a chrayis for your own learning, for your own Yitzharas, and for your own Yiddishkeit, and try to own it. Okay? Last but not least, just a tiny bracha from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, because as much as Baruch Hashem, we've set the stage for a great year of learning and growth in Avodas Hashem, at the end of the day, we're still in Washington Heights, and we're still in Galus, and this is not Eretz Yisrael, and we don't have a base in Mikdash, and we can't forget that for a second. We can't forget that for a second. Just turn to the last piece in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis. We'll end with this. Yud Aleph Lamed Beis. Ushmartem Lasos. Ushmartem Lasos, of course, Pasuk Pshat, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk Pshat, Ushmartem Lasos, guard the mitzvos to do them. Okay, maybe Los Asay, Mitzvos Asay. Perish, look what he says. What else can Shamar mean? Va'aviv shamaris hadavar, Yosef atzadik and Yaakov. Yosef told his dreams to Yaakov, and Yaakov was shamaris hadavar. He understood and looked forward to it coming true. Ushmartem lasos. You might be doing mitzvos now, and we should hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, Hashem should help us do a lot of mitzvos, and we should learn a lot of Torah this year. But at the end of the day, this is still only a trial run for Mashiach. Ushmartem lasos, perish. Lefisha mitzvos shabal, litzavos aleihem, heim tuyim ba'aretz. Since the mitzvos are primarily meant to be fulfilled ba'aretz in Eretz Yisrael, lezeh amar lehem sheyishmeru. Hashem was speaking to the Jews who were not yet in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm speaking, and the Rechaim is speaking to us, by telling us, we're those Jews who are not yet in Eretz Yisrael. Ushmartem lasos means look forward to the time, hopefully soon, when we're all going to be in Eretz Yisrael and do the mitzvos the ideal way. Like the Ramban writes in many places in his commentary on Chumash. The real place for mitzvot is Eretz Yisrael. You put on tefillin this morning. I hope everyone in the room put on tefillin this morning. You put on tefillin this morning. You did the mitzvah of tefillin. Says the Ramban, say Chazal, yeah, sort of. Maybe 95%. What do you mean? It was perfect. It's not perfect. If it's in Chutz La'aretz, it's not perfect. Why? Tefillin's not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It's not trumos and maitzros. What do you mean like tefillin in Chutz La'aretz is not perfect? Because the ideal state of a Jew is in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, ushmartem. He quotes the pasuk, "Aviv shamaris hadavar." Look forward to what's going to come. Va'kavana shiyu mechakim lasos, and look forward to when you'll do it lechatchila, the real way. Va'kavana v'zeh shagam shebizman shumidaber yimahem ein biyadim lasosam. Even though right now you can't do the mitzvos yet, you can't do certain mitzvos. Bizman v'zeh. I mentioned on Tisha B'av. Bizman v'zeh. If you look at the Chafetz Chaim's calculation, how many of the 613 apply bizman v'zeh? Less than 50%. Of the 613, we have less than 50% of the mitzvos we can do bizman hazeh without a base of mikdash, without the ideal, you know, state of Jewish living. You realize what that means? Less than 50%? We're less than half alive. If you got a 44 on a test, would you be happy? Probably not. Well, that's where we're holding, Klal Yisrael. We're holding at a point where we're holding in the 40s as our score on the report card. So look forward to the time they'll be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Ushmartim, look forward, lasos, they'll be able to do it. But again, we have to use the training course, we have to use the opportunities that we do have to prepare ourselves, to get ourselves ready. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. with our new Rebbe. We say thank you to our old Rebbe. Shem Yishmuel was our Rebbe last year. And now we have a new... people ask me, why are we learning Orach Chaim HaKadosh? 2 years ago we learned Rav Tzadok, Pri Tzadik. 3 years ago we learned Tzfas Emes. First year in YU we did Kiddush Slevi. Orach Chaim HaKadosh is before the Baal Shem Tov. And this is usually when we learn Chassidus in the Parsha. But Orach Chaim HaKadosh, you'll see that Chassidim Bechlal were Mechabed Orach Chaim HaKadosh tremendously. The Baal Shem Tov himself had a tremendous kesher and desire to connect with Orach Chaim HaKadosh, to physically to meet Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And you'll see that Sefer Chassidus are built so much of Machshava, of Chassidus is built on the Sefer Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So I felt, how can we not go back to something that's in so many ways the source for many of the Sfarim that we like to learn in this year? So Mir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to take to heart the words of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. We should be listeners. We should be listeners to one another. We should listen to the words of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And then Amir Tzah Hashem, who shmartim lasas, will be zochah to return to Eretz Yisrael to keep the mitzvahs in the ideal fashion. Amen. Amen.